Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Mark chapter 5 tonight. You know, we it's been kind of scattered, you know. We've been in a series, but it's just been kind of scattered. But we're back in it again tonight on answered prayer. And it's something that we need to hear, you know. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I have a lot of wants. Amen. You know, I like things. I don't know about you, but I like good things. And so, boy, I got quiet on that. Like, you all lying to me tonight, like you don't have any wants or desires or things. And they're not all natural stuff, by the way. You know. Amen. And so, and the Bible says we have not because we ask not, then we need to ask, right? Hallelujah, but we need to know how to ask and ask the right way. Where did I tell you to go? Mark 5. Let me go there. All right, Mark 5.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. Okay, here we are. Mark 5. It's in the book of Mark, I'll bet. Mark 5. And tonight, I just want to talk about one word, okay, if I had to title a message, and I guess I will. I would title it faith. You know, we talk about answered prayer lifestyle. Amen. And answered prayer, word-based. And now we're going to talk about answered prayer faith. Amen. And just talk about how much faith has to do with answered prayer. Now, there are, you know, there's a lot of people who tell you that that's not so, that that's just, you know, word of faith guys teaching you that, and that's heresy. Matter of fact, I'm seeing a rise of that kind of teaching back in the body of Christ. And it's coming from people, it's not coming from the denominational people. It's coming from people that ought to know better, that are actually were one time word of faith people or charismatic people. And now they're saying, well, you know, whether you get healed or not doesn't have anything to do with faith. Well, I'm thinking you're missing a lot of scriptures here, friend. You know, just because you didn't get healed doesn't mean it was a lack of faith. But and that's not what we even teach. But faith has something to do with it. Amen. Now, because, you know, well, let's just read here. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Verse 25, it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. So obviously this woman had some money, you know, to suffer. You know, she had this for 12 years. And when just the phrase that she spent all that she had, it let you know she had something to spend.
Yeah.
You know, just that phrase. And so she spent all that she had, and she suffered many things of many physicians. I don't know if you've ever read about some of the things that the physicians did back in those days, you know, to try to get you healed and so forth. And they were trying to help. They were operating on all the knowledge that they had. But, you know, some of it was really painful. And, I mean, you know, I mean, some of it was, and it says she suffered many things. Yeah. Now, they're trying to get the woman healed, but, you know, she's nothing better, but she grew worse. So, you know, and the Bible says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, or the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So she could feel that in her body. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself virtue, or a better word would, this is old King James, better word would be power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? So the woman knew when the power went in her, and Jesus knew when the power went out of him. So they knew about the power. So, and his disciples said unto him, you see the let me back up here. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself, verse 30, that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now see, yeah, there's a real whole teaching right there. Because, you know, he's in the press, he's in the crowd, there's a lot of people bumping into him. But he didn't say, who bumped into me? He said, who touched me? See, in other words, that power, now how many believe that if you've got a crowd of people, there's more than one person needs healing? right? I mean, in our group tonight, there's more than one person probably needs healing in their body for something, okay? So you get a press, you know, this crowd around him, and they're bumping into him. In other words, what I'm trying to say was power was there, but not everybody was bumping it. Not everybody was receiving it. Thank you. Because even though they bumped into him, they didn't really touch him. Yeah. Amen. We used to have an old song. We sing, "Touching Jesus is all that matters." Anybody remember that song? Okay, all right. Susie, help me out here, Randy. "Touching Jesus is all that matters." All right, Dustin, get up here, put it in G for God. Let's go. We're going to do it. "And your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch him. You must believe when you call on his name." What do you people live in a world of your own? Amen. That's a real song, Pentecost song. "Touching Jesus is all that matters." Well, you know, well, how do you touch him? Well, this woman did it by faith, didn't she? And his disciples, and I don't know, verse 31, "His disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, pressing you, and you say, who touched me?" See, there's like, they're like, "What are you saying, Jesus? Everybody's bumping into you. What do you mean, who touched you? Now are you getting finicky about who bumps into you?" Right? You know, there were times the disciples didn't quite figure Jesus out. You got to know that. I mean, he'd say things, and they're like, "What?" They didn't get it, right? And so this is one of those times, it's like, what does he mean? Who's touching me? There's a lot of people touching you. All right. And he looked, verse 32, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, see, she wasn't sure that maybe she hadn't done something wrong she shouldn't have done. And the woman, trembling and fearing, first of all, she wasn't supposed to be out there in public anyway with this flow of blood, you know. And, you know, the man, you know, that could have had her, you know, put to death for that, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, is standing right there. He's right there. And so she's not really sure what's going to happen here. And maybe she's done something she shouldn't have done. So the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now I want you to notice what he said. He said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." But I read that because I wanted you to see that, you know, what did heal her? Well, what healed her was the power that went out of Jesus, right? But Jesus didn't say, "My power healed you or made you whole." He said, "Your faith made you whole." He put the emphasis on her faith, not on his power. See, it's kind of like, you know, if you have an old freezer in the garage, you know, an old, we used to call them icebox, a freezer in the garage, and you haven't had it running for a while, and you pull in the garage one day, and the thing is running, and you open the lid, and it's cold inside there. You don't go in the house and say, "Who put the power in the freezer?" Well, you know, it's the power from the electric company is the reason the freezer's able to do what it does. That's right. So it is the power, but that's not where your emphasis is going to be. What are you going to say? Who plugged the freezer in? Why? Because the power is, you know, the emphasis is on who tapped into the power. Yeah. See, the power is available. I mean, you can plug anything in your house that you want to plug in, you know, and there's going to be power there. Amen. You know, you don't lay the refrigerator cord close to the outlet and say, "Well, it's close." You got to get it in, right? So that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying this. He's not putting emphasis on him, on the power, on the fact that he's the Son of God or anything else. He's putting the emphasis on faith. He said, it's your faith that made you whole. I think that's really, that's something we got to pay attention to. So a lot of people, well, you know, if it was the power, it would be like God just, you know, whatever God does, he does, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. You understand? If he was regulating the power, it'd be up to him. Come on, are you hearing me? See, I see this among spirit-filled Christians where they say, well, it's up to God whether you get, receive, or you don't receive. If he wants you to have it, then you'll have it. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, woman, it's your power, or it's your faith that pulled this power out of me. The power was there, but you had to pull it out. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, and that's why this teaching that is starting to come back in the church. I'm seeing articles about it, and we're being attacked for teaching on faith again, and the whole thing, which I can handle that. I've lived through that. Doesn't matter to me, you know. I'm not changing. I've been preaching on it for almost 40 years now. I'm not changing now. Amen. And so I know what's blessed my life. Now, but yet this is rising up, even from people you wouldn't think it would say it, and say, well, you know, God is sovereign. Well, I agree with that. God is sovereign. But in his sovereignty, he's done some things. He's instituted some principles and some laws, and you know. And so I agree, sovereign, and I agree that God could heal whoever he wanted to heal.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But let's just find out how he said he would do it. You know, gifts of the Spirit, like gifts of healing, people get healed, but those that they don't even have any faith. But see, those are as the Spirit wills. You remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? I think this is the right one. There's a lot he got healed. Jesus healed. When he got healed, you know. How many know he wasn't really believing anything? He was waiting for a manifestation of the Spirit. See, remember that story in John chapter 5 where this crippled man laid by the pool of Bethesda, and every once in a while an angel would come down and stir the waters up, and whoever got in first got healed. See, that's a gift of healing, see. And Jesus saw it. He said, will you be made whole? You want to be made whole? He said, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water's troubled. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? You lazy thing, you. You should have made friends with somebody that would throw you in there.
Yeah, amen.
After all these years of being there. But Jesus said, will you be made whole? He said, I don't have anybody to help me into the pool when the waters are troubled. So, you know, I guess I'm just out of luck. And Jesus said, hey, rise, take up your bed. Go your way. And he was instantly healed. Later on, they stopped the man because he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And they stopped him. And he said, what are you doing carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? He said, well, the man that healed me told me to take up my bed and walk. And they said, well, who was he? He said, I don't know who it was. He didn't even know who Jesus was. There's no faith by this guy. Now, when God wants to do that, how many know he can just do that? He didn't have to ask you. He didn't have to ask me. You know what I mean? He can just do miracles. He can do healings. And now he can do that anytime he wants to do that. But I tell you one thing. He's made his power available, and you can tap into it when you're ready to.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say this had anything to do with him. He said, woman, it's your faith that made you whole. Amen. He was willing. But somebody got to tap into the power. You don't have to pack. You don't have to call the power company every time you want to plug something in, right? It's at your house. It's available. You know, I don't have to call them, you know, and tell them, can I plug the toaster in? How many know that might be funny one time? After that, they might say, pull this guy's meter. He's more trouble than he's worth. Because there's power available. Are you with me now? And so, you know, this, don't fall into this. I don't want you to believe this because it's me and I'm your pastor. I'm reading to you the Bible right here. I'm looking at the Word. Let's go a little deeper than just surface stuff. Amen. And I'm not just going to show you one scripture tonight. I'm going to take you through several different scriptures just to bring this out. Matter of fact, go to the sixth chapter of Mark. Next chapter, chapter 6. This is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
How many know he's our example, right? and in his hometown, he went to his hometown. And how many know if any place you want to have a good meeting, it's at home. Yeah. And he's at home, and it says in verse 5, he could there do no mighty work. He didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. Except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And one guy who knows the Greek, he said one time, he said that sick folk there, when you study it down, it just means they had minor ailments. Wasn't much wrong with them. Now, verse 6 tells us why. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages or in a circuit teaching. What's the cure for unbelief? Teaching, right? Teaching the word or preaching of the word. Teaching or preaching, that's the cure for unbelief. Well, that's what cures unbelief. Well, how many know if unbelief stopped Jesus, how many know it stopped him then, it stops him today? Same Jesus, right? So if it stopped him then, how many know it stops him right now? Amen. Now, Mark chapter 10, and we are going to look at a few scriptures tonight. Is that all right? Mark chapter 10, because I want you to see this isn't just a word of faith doctrine that, you know, some word of faith preachers came up with because it sells books and it was popular in the 1970s and 80s. It's not as popular today. But it will happen. It will help us to live in God's victory. Can you say amen? It'll keep us in line with what the Word teaches. Amen. How many know everything in the Bible is written for our learning, the Bible says, so we can learn from it? Now, Mark chapter 10, we're not going to read the whole thing. I'll just cut into this. But this is blind Bartimaeus, you know, begging by the wayside, and Jesus comes by. And verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto you? In other words, what do you want me to do for you? You know, Jesus could have given him money. He was begging for money. He could have given him money. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go your way. What made you whole? Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. So once again, we see right there, and there's all kinds of scriptures, of course, we could look at, but how many know the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I just gave you three. I'm going to give you a lot more, but I just gave you three right there where specifically it shows us that these people's deliverance came because of faith. Yeah. Amen. So faith, you know, I like to think faith is heaven's currency. It's what buys things in the spirit realm. Amen. And it ought to be simple for people to get this because, you know, how do you get saved? By grace are you saved through? Amen. What saves you? It's the grace of God, right? But how do you get the grace of God? By faith. We have access, Paul said, to this grace by faith. Nobody gets saved accidentally. You never seen anybody on this? I guess it's still on the 700 Club. Still on? Okay. Remember they used to have people come on and give their testimonies and stuff like that. You know. You never saw anybody come on there and said, you know, I got saved, and I wasn't even trying. Didn't even want to be saved. Matter of fact, I'm kind of miffed that God saved me. Wish he just left me alone. Well, I mean, you'd write that person off immediately. Well, they're a nut. How many of you have to believe? You have to have faith. Amen. And real Bible faith. Now, you see, I was talking to a lady this morning about this, and she started talking to me about, you know, how could some, quote, Christians, you know, do the things they do. And I said, well, because they probably don't even know about being saved. Yeah, they're not Christians, but they think they are because they go to a church. I just came through my garage, but I'm not a truck. See, and I began to, and she saw that. I said, you know, we know of a pastor that's this lady pastor, not Pastor Debbie. Didn't she do an awesome job Sunday morning? Wow, what a service we had. But this lady pastor said she went to this certain denominational church for 20 years or more and was like almost like had the key to the church there faithfully and played the piano for the church and was in it for 20 years and said, I was there for 20 years and never heard a word about salvation. We didn't know we weren't saved. We just thought we were saved because we went to church and did what the church said. How many of you get saved by doing what the church says? You get saved by doing what the Bible says, right? So there's all kinds of churches in our city where the people there, they don't know they're not saved. But they're not. See, the emphasis in the church is on being good. Be a good, as good a person as you can possibly be. Do good works, social justice and good works, and be good. And that's what God wants. Well, yes, God does want that. Amen. He wants us to be good people. He wants us to be good people and do good socially. That's all part of the gospel. That's why I told you, that's all part of the gospel, but that's not the gospel of salvation. There's a difference. You do that after you get saved. And it's something that it's sad to me that people think they're all right. Now, I'm not their judge. God is their ultimate judge. You know that. But yet, the thing of it is, if you are saved, it shows up. There's a change. Remember what Paul said? Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Come on, now you may still have to deal with some, I'm not saying that you still don't have to deal with issues in your life that you got saved and now all of a sudden you're this perfect creature. No, well, you're still being worked on. Amen. I'm still being worked on. But when we got saved, something changed. Amen.
Amen.
You know, something changed. Now, in Mark chapter 11, let's go over there. Mark chapter 11. We're going to read this classic text on faith. Mark chapter 11. No, not the whole chapter. But go to verse 20. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. I remember Jesus cursed the fig tree, didn't he? Right? All right, next day, it's dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, Have what?
Faith.
Have faith in God. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Blind Bartimaeus, according to your faith be it unto you. Peter said, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus said, have faith in God. What did you say? Faith in God caused the fig tree to wither away. That's what he's saying. See? And he goes on, he says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever, that'd be you, wouldn't it? You don't have to be some spiritual giant. Say for 75 years, in the ministry for 90. No, he said, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, amen, or you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. All right, Jesus is talking about prayer here, right? Now, where did he put the emphasis at? Did he put the emphasis on the fact that we have a loving God? No. Do we have a loving God? Did he put the emphasis on the fact that God wants to meet all of our needs? Huh? Does God want to meet our needs? Where did he put the emphasis? Verse 24, where did he put the emphasis? When you pray, believe. So Jesus put the emphasis on prayer. And what did he say? Believe you receive, and you what? You will or you shall have them. Amen. In other words, they'll show up. Amen. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that in a little bit because, you know, doesn't mean they'll show up tomorrow. Amen. How many wish they did? You've heard the guy say, you know, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Does anybody besides me not like to wait? I can go in a restaurant here in town, and they say 30 minutes, you know, and like, So I spend 40 minutes going to another place. I did finally figure that one out. If it's 30 minutes, I did learn that 30 minutes, yeah, maybe I'll stay. 45, no way. Amen. Or, you know, I'll just go to Taco Bell. You don't have to wait there. Drive through. Toss a taco, man. They just roll your window down, they toss it in. Let's go. Now, see, I'm not, you know, this, maybe this, I shouldn't say this, but I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. But, you know, you can't rush some things in the spirit realm. Sometimes you have to wait. You see, now, you know, I'm not old, but I'm old enough to go back to remember when we used to have to wait on meals. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you go back, and my mother still cooks this way. I mean, just her and dad is all there is at their house. I'm thinking about moving in, but take Phyllis with me when I go. I've threatened it again. I'll move back in. I'd probably be 300 pounds if I did. But anyway, but you know, she still cooks the old fashioned way. But you even go back a little bit, and they did stuff from scratch.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, matter of fact, you go back far enough, and they actually went and got the chicken out of the backyard.
Yes, right.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
Now today See, some of our young people today, they don't even know that chickens actually were walking around. They just think they come, you know, they mass produce them in cellophane, plastic wrap. They don't know that chicken gave its life. Amen. You know, because we're so far removed from that now that, you know, have you ever seen a chicken killed? It's a sight to behold. You won't forget it. I mean, once you get their neck off, they'll walk around for a while until they realize, man, something happened here. Ooh. Come on. Anybody ever seen that? It's like, I'm really kind of glad that we've got people we pay to do that now.
Yeah.
All right? I'm for it. You know? And you know, you go back, see, and it took a long time to cook that meal. I mean, you know, you'd have fried chicken. That chicken, he was, yeah, a few hours ago, he was in peace, happy, full of joy. Didn't know anything was going to happen. And all of a sudden, rock! You know, or the pig or the cow or whatever, you know. I mean, you see, when those angels come to see Abraham, he said, hold on just a minute. He goes and kills a cow, man. I'm thinking, that took a while. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they had to go get the cow. He said, hold it. My wife's going to fix you dinner. Go get a cow. I mean, talk about, but today now, we don't have to do all that. And I'm for this. Don't misunderstand. I'm for this. That you know, we can just, you know, go through the drive-through. But I tell you, just from experience, it doesn't taste the same. It's not the same quality. And it's not as healthy for you. You know, they say, well, you know, white bread is bad for you. You know. So we switch from white bread, we go to brown bread. Brown bread is bad for you. So we go, okay, we go to black bread. Black bread is bad for you. I think what you're trying to tell me is bread is bad for me. And at that point, I say, forget you, I'll eat it all. But you go back, you see. You know, and I heard a doctor talking about this one time. He said, you know, he said the reason why that the bread that, you know, that your grandparents and for some of us maybe our parents made, said they made it from scratch. They needed it. You know, all that was fresh ingredients, and that stuff was good for you. It was alive, a living thing, you know. Come on, you ever read a food label? You put things in your mouth you can't say with your mouth. Think about it. You put things in. What is riboflavin? It's in everything, you know? Amen. I mean, you go get it. Everything's got riboflavin. Well, whatever it is, it must be important for somebody, but I don't know what it is. But anyway, But, you know, my point is with God, see, sometimes things aren't just like, oh, you know, he still does slow cooking sometimes. And it's not just him that does slow cooking in the spirit realm. Sometimes things don't manifest overnight. You got to stick with it. Amen. Amen? Now, let's go to James chapter 5. Go there. James 5. So we see there Jesus connects faith with prayer, and the answered prayer is definitely connected with faith. Now, I want to show you just a few more scriptures here. Won't go much longer. But I want to show you that this is definitely a Bible principle. This is not something that, you know, just a few people made up a few years ago to sell some cassette tapes or to write some books, or they're heretics, you know. Now, in James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." Well, there we have it again. The prayer of what? Faith. "The daughter, thy faith has made you whole. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Of course, we know that it's God's power that's going to raise him up, right? Just like it's the electricity that's going to make the freezer work, but you've got to plug it in. And so it's the prayer of faith that plugs in to the Lord raising you up. Amen. Verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another." That means, you know, when you've trespassed against one another. "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed." Now, notice this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, what is an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man? Is it somebody that, you know, they pray really with a lot of vim, vigor, and vitality? Is that an effectual prayer? A lot of people think so. Man, wasn't that a pretty prayer? Okay. But was it a faith prayer? See, an effectual prayer, he already told us what an effectual prayer is. Effectual prayer would mean an effective prayer, right? What is an effective prayer? You know, that, all those are good. All those are right answers, but that's not what I'm looking for. What's going to save the sick? The prayer of faith is an effective prayer. It's the prayer that gets something done. Amen. Come on, don't shut down on me like you didn't know. You're not that dumb, right? We just read it, right? Verse 15, "The prayer of faith will save the sick." Well, if the prayer of faith saves the sick, it must be effective prayer. He just told us. Now, verse 17 says King James says Elias, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, you know, I don't think I'll go back there. Let's go back to Kings. Let's go back to 1 Kings. All right, so he just listed the prayer that Elijah prayed in 1 Kings as an effective prayer. You with me now? So let's go look at how he prayed, because James just said it was effective. And we know that an effective prayer is a prayer of what?
Faith.
It's a prayer of faith. That's an effective prayer. Now, no matter what you're praying, you need to pray in faith. You know, if you're praying in tongues, you need to do it in faith. I mean, if you're just praying in tongues, well, this isn't doing anything. Well, it's not now. You just nullified it because of your unbelief. You got to pray in faith. Now, let's look at this. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. I know we looked at a lot of scripture tonight. I'm going to look at one more at least, and then we'll be done. But 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Elijah, he said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat, drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain." How many know faith talks before it sees it? He hadn't seen anything yet. "And Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees." Now, what is he doing? He's praying, isn't he? How do we know that's what he's doing? Because James said that's what he was doing. He prayed, and the earth gave rain. So he's praying. All right? "He said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up, Now, what's he praying for? What's he praying for? Now, after he's praying, what's he doing? He's looking for rain, right? He's looking for rain. Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up, he looked, and he said, there's nothing. Now, notice it didn't stop him. He said, go again 7 times. In other words, 7 times, what was he doing? He just kept praying. And he'd send his servant out to go look, and his servant said, there's nothing. So 7 times his servant went out and he looked, and he came back 7 times and said, there's nothing. It didn't stop this man. Right. See, this is effective praying according to James chapter 5, which is, it's a prayer of faith. This man's praying in faith. He's expecting something. He's already said what he expects. He already told Ahab, you better get going, it's going to rain. Why? Because I'm getting ready to pray for rain. And then he immediately looks for rain. And it came to pass, verse 44, I love this, at the 7th time. You know, most people would give up by now. Not this man. That he said, his servant said, behold, there rise a little cloud out of the sea. Now notice, his servant's not real sure about this either. A little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. You can just hear what his servant said. He said, now, look, boss, don't get your hopes up. There is a little bit of something. There's a cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. That's not a very big cloud, is it? And you told Ahab abundance of rain. It didn't come out of that little cloud. That didn't stop Elijah at all, did it? Notice, he said, verse 44, the middle of the verse, he said, go up, you go up, told the servant, you go up, you say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, get thee down, and that the rain stop you not. In other words, out of that little cloud, there's going to come something out of that. And it came to pass in the meanwhile. Have you ever had times where, you know, you prayed, you see a little bit of something? Well, that's a good sign. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. See, I'm just showing you something. I hope you're getting this. See, even if you don't see something right away, don't give up. That's the prayer of faith. Just stick with it. Amen? Now, let's go to one last scripture, James chapter 1. And so we're just talking about answered prayer. We're talking about faith, how faith has something to do with it. That Jesus put the emphasis, and the Bible puts the emphasis on faith, on believing that something's going to happen. Amen. James chapter 1. Once again, I want to say thank God for the gifts of the Spirit, but you know what? Thank God for that. We want more of that. But we don't have to wait on that. I said, we don't have to wait on that. Matter of fact, if you don't learn this, you probably won't keep that. Amen. There's all kinds of, you know, I was around Old Pentecost when I first got saved. And for quite a while, would preach for some of them. And they understood the move of the Holy Ghost. There's no doubt about it. But they didn't know much about faith. And so if they had a really anointed service and God moved, I've seen this happen. They might receive their healing. But see, that you've got to go beyond that because the devil will counterattack sometimes. You got to know how to keep it. You got to know how to get it yourself. I've been in those services, man. I'll tell you, especially in the early 80s, we had some outpourings of the Holy Ghost. You know, and people would get healed. They didn't have any faith. They didn't have much. I wouldn't say they didn't have any faith, but they didn't have much faith. And you'd try to teach them a little bit, and it's like, man, if I got to do something, I'll forget it. Come on. I would see that attitude. If you're telling me I got to do something, forget it. Well, you're the one that's going to end up without anything. And I've seen some of them get healed, and then, you know, they'll lose it, you know. And, you know, I remember one particular service, and the gifts of the Spirit started operating like that. The gifts of healings started manifesting.
power of God was moving so strong in that service. I was preaching, and but I was at this, and I'll just kind of be generic with this, but I was at this pastor's church. I still know the pastor. I was at his church, and I prayed for this older lady, and she was older. I mean, I was young, and I thought if you were in your 50s, you're old, but she was beyond that, okay? She was an old saint of God, good woman, loved Jesus. I prayed for her. When I prayed for her, she got slain in the spirit. Now, this is a church that's used to power. They're used to power. She got slain in the spirit. Pow, on the floor she went. Well, that pastor's up there. He's with me. He's helping me, you know. He looked at me. He said, God is moving. Well, I already knew that. He said to me, he said, God is moving. He said, that woman there said she has never been slain in the spirit ever. Well, people started getting healed. And he started going back. And now we're having a healing line. Now, if you're sick and we have a healing line, where should you probably be? But they're not coming up for healing, all of you. He starts going back and getting them. I'm serious. Next thing I know, he leaves. He's up here, been up here helping me pray for people. And he's going back and getting people out of his congregation and dragging them up there. Now, I mean, there's not a whole lot of faith going on in their heart and their life, you know what I'm saying? And I remember, there were two outs. There was, I don't know how many outstanding miracles there were that night, but I'm thinking about a couple that happened that night. One lady, which I didn't understand at the time, but she had back problems, and she had it so bad that she had an electrical box, you know, like this pack here. She had one of those, wasn't that, but she had a pack like that on her back, and a wire went into her back, and it shocked her. And that shock would alleviate her back pain. Well, I mean, I didn't know much about that then. It was later on I found out about it. But I ministered to her, and she hit the floor. And she went her way. But then later I got the testimony, and she said, you know, she said, I went home at night. I didn't have any pain on the way home. She said, but I didn't think anything about it because that box will help alleviate pain. She said, but I got home, the box was unplugged. She got totally healed. And I hope she kept it because, you know, you're going to have to learn something about faith. And there was another woman, and this woman must have kept hers because there was another woman, and she came up, and she was scheduled to have her feet amputated, both of them. Once again, I didn't ask her why. I didn't know. Now I look back, and, you know, a lot of times diabetes will do that to you. So she is scheduled in a few days to have both her feet taken off. And you know the Lord healed her that night? And she went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with your feet. Now that woman kept her healing. Because Phyllis can tell you this, I was preaching in another church, not this same church, I was in another church. I was preaching that on a Sunday night. And I don't know why I told that story about that woman, because I'd always make a joke out of it, you know, try to have a little humor, and some people don't laugh at my jokes, but I always said, now, I was talking about this woman. And I said, that woman did not let the devil defeat her. I know it's corny, but I thought it was funny. And we had some power in that service, man. And I dismissed the service, or the pastor dismissed the service. Now, I'm getting ready to walk out the door. Phyllis and I are getting ready to leave the church. And this woman stops me. She says, that woman you told the story about? She said, that was 17 years ago, and that was me.
Amen.
And I look down, she still got her feet. See? But see, during Catherine Kuhlman's meetings, people would get healed en masse. Hundreds of people in the services. But did you know some of those people would lose their healing? And then people say, well, if it was really God, it would have lasted. Not always, not if you go back into unbelief and doubt. See, some of those people came from churches that preached doubt and unbelief all the time. They come to these meetings, and first time they'd ever heard anything like that and gotten that miracle power and got healed, then they went right back in that unbelieving church and sat there and let them talk them out of their healing.
Absolutely. You don't think that'll happen? Well, I've seen that happen. Where people, you know, they get loose, break loose for just a little bit from tradition. But then they'll go right back to it. You ought to just run from that as far as you can. Anything to take faith out of you, you ought to just run from it. I wouldn't give them churches a dime. I'd let them go out. Go, you know, like people get on TV and say, this is a faith ministry, and if you don't give, we're going under. I think, well, go on. Get off the TV. If you're a faith ministry, why are you doing talking that way? A little punchy tonight. Come on. Amen. But I mean, that's the truth. It's just the truth. I mean, if you're a faith ministry, don't be telling me you're going off the TV if people don't give. Believe God. Amen. Or they'd say, you know, the screen's going to be blank next week. No, it's not. They'll put Looney Tunes on before it goes blank. And it might be better than watching you. I don't know. You know, at least Bugs Bunny always won. Amen. Now, let's go to James. Let's close here. It's like Brother Hagin said, he's watching some people. He's watching Christian TV one night. He said, you know, this woman got on there, and she's a singer, and she's on one of these, you know, Christian talk shows. You know, you can't just watch all this stuff, folks, or all this modern-day preaching and that not steal your faith. He said this woman got on there, and she began talking about how she had to go out and find her own self. He thought, well, man, if you'd read the Bible, you'd know who you are. You're a new creature. Finally, she said, I had to divorce my husband and get out on my own to find out who I was. He thought, oh, he just said, made me so mad. He said, I just turned over and watched a Western. He said, I knew there was more faith in that than that. Now, all right, James, let's go there. Verse 5, James 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But notice this, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering or no doubting. For he that wavers or doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now notice, this is the Bible. Everybody say Bible. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Come on, did I just read the word to you? He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Everybody say double-minded. You know what double-minded means? It means that you think there could be one or two outcomes. In other words, you're not settled on one. You got two thoughts about it. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. That's wavering. That's doubt. You got to believe there's just going to be one outcome, and that's the outcome that God said. Amen? So right there we see, we're talking about faith and asking. He said, let him ask in faith. And if he doesn't, don't let him think he'll receive anything of the Lord. That's not word of faith preachers. That's the Bible. Amen. Paul told the church, instructing the church to pray in Timothy. He said, I would that men pray everywhere. But then he gave some, you know, some guidelines. Lifting up holy hands. How many of scriptural lift your hands up? That's what the Bible teaches us to do that. But notice he said, without wrath and doubting. Don't be praying with anger and strife in your heart, and don't be praying with doubt. Now let me close by saying this. You know what, Brother Hagin, he taught me this, and I when he said this, I thought, yeah, that helps a lot. He said this. He said you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart. Jesus said, don't doubt in your heart, not your head. Your head can be going all kinds of ways, saying, how's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? You just don't pay attention to that. That's your head. You know, your head can be giving you, especially, you know, there's people that are more, I don't want to say intellectual, but what am I trying? There's people that are, you know, they're more on the plane where they let their natural brain rule them too much. You know, they're too analytical is what I'm trying to say. They're too analytical. You know, you get me, a guy that just came out of the, you know, from Pike County, I'm just like, I'll just believe anything. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to analyze, it's too hard. If God said, I'll just trust it, right? Yeah. Amen. You know, it's like a lady was telling me, and I was talking to this lady this morning, and she said, well, you know, I'm going to tell you about this one person. Okay, well, tell me about him. And she began to tell me about it, and it was pretty interesting. She said, they claim they're a Christian, but they don't believe all the Bible. And they don't believe in Noah's flood, and they don't believe in Adam and Eve. And I said, wait a minute here, hold it. I said, look, here's the way this works. Either the Bible's all true or none of it's true. It's not both ways. If one thing is a lie, then how can we trust John 3:16? It's either all true or it's not. None of it's true. It's like a lady she lives in another state now or went to heaven or something. I can't remember now. We had a lady that got saved here years ago. And we was in another building, and she was so full of zeal, just a young Christian, full of zeal, more zeal than sense, but she was working on getting some sense. And but anyway, she did a lot of funny things, I thought. One time she gave us, like Phyllis and I gave us a bunch of money for Christmas one time, and I thanked her, thank you for blessing us for Christmas. And then one of our parishioners said, well, she won it down at the boat. Well, we'll sanctify the filthy lucre and spend it for Christmas, whatever. But, she didn't know any better. She just still, she's still, getting this figured out and stuff, And so she actually owned a business in town, and she made her employees come to church here. She did. It's like, you work for me, you got to go to church where I tell you to go to church. So she brings this one woman one night. I'll never forget this. She brings this one woman, and she's a psychic. She hears voices, stuff like that. And so she shoves her up in the prayer line, and then wants me to talk to her and all. And she says, now Pastor Pearl's going to tell you where those voices you hear are from God. Because, see, she was suspecting they weren't. So I asked the lady one question. I said, are you born again? She said, no. I said, well, then they're not. That's pretty simple. I said, but let me ask you this. I said, what do you think about Jesus? Because, it's like I was talking to this lady today. I said, it doesn't matter all this other stuff, what you believe about. I want to know what you believe about Jesus. We can argue a lot of doctrine, but what do you believe about Jesus? That's going to determine whether you're going to heaven or hell. So I said, what do you believe about Jesus? I said, what do you believe about him? She says, well, I believe he was a good man. I said, well, I believe that too. She said, I believe he's a prophet. I said, well, I believe that too. I said, do you believe he's the Son of God? She said, no. I said, well, then if that's true, he wasn't a good man or a prophet, either one. He was a liar. I mean, it all stands or falls on whether he told the truth. And if he lied about that, let me know, God didn't lie about anything. It's all true. Noah existed. Why? Just because you can't analytically figure out how he got all those animals on the ark. Well, I mean, I think God could get them all on there. Right? Yeah, well, this woman was saying, well, I mean, let me go back. They'd had to marry one of their own family. We'd all been nuts. Something went through my mind I didn't say, but I'm not going to say it. But anyway. But I thought, listen. See, that's the problem with me. I just believe God can do it. Have I ever thought about how he got all those animals on the ark? Sure I have. I've tried to figure it out. Now, how are you going to do that? I mean, you can't even get two kids on the same place with all the animals. But I just realized, my God's big enough to do it. Are you with me? Well, I don't believe that part in the Red Sea. Well, I can't tell you how it happened. I just have learned God did it. See, that's where faith comes in.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.